listening to Argue the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed and, we are.
Yeah. So today we're doing another sort of trailer analysis, only instead of doing like a deep dive into one like we did with Blade Runner, we're just going to go through all our favorite trailers from the recent San Diego Comic Con, which we did not attend, but we did watch the best bits of on internet television.
Exactly. Yeah. Channel internet.
Yeah. Yeah, so there were quite a few interesting ones there.
There was a lot. There was a lot of Netflix and yeah, some Amazon Prime stuff. It was just everything for everyone ever.
Yeah. There was plenty to choose from. It was kind of it was difficult to narrow it down to a short list, but we sort of have done.
We kind of picked our favorite things, kind of stuff we kind of follow.
Like there were a lot of trailers, but a lot of them were for like season 2 and season 3 of stuff, which I hadn't been watching up to now, so it wasn't something I was going to watch anyway.
Yeah, so if we've missed your favorite, let us know in the comments. But that's why, because we don't watch it.
One of the trailers for something I'm really looking forward to is the new series of Dirk Gently, which is coming out, I guess, this year.
Yeah, I think these are sort of like for autumn,
stroke
fall, if you are in the States.
Yes.
Because I hadn't spotted this one until I started doing the research for this episode.
No.
So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, it's one of those films which I really, series that I really enjoyed when I was watching it, and then once I'd finished it, I kind of put it away in my brain and didn't think about it until it like popped up.
It's not like I was sitting going, oh, I can't wait for season 2, but I just kind of really enjoyed it. Yeah, so I'm glad you put me onto that one, because it's really fun and light in the darkness that is lots of the shows that are out and movies that are out at the moment. There's kind of lots of grit.
Yeah, it's unique among what's happening at the moment, I think.
Yeah. And it just looks more fun.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like I say, I like the first series. I'm here sort of day one for the second. I thought rather than a trailer, it was more of a teaser, really.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a bit silly, to be honest, even for that show. This is a dream, isn't it? That joke is ancient.
Yeah,
flies coming off it.
Yeah, was a bit old, that joke. Yeah. So,
I mean, and it's been in particularly it's been in a bunch of BBC shows that I've seen. This is a BBC America thing, as far as I'm aware. But, you know, Blackadder did that joke. Red Dwarf did that joke. The Vicar of Dibley has done that joke. not to slight the Vicar of Dibley or anything,
no,
but if you're stealing jokes from it, I liked it as a reminder that this is coming out and there's going to be a new one. It looks like we'll be getting a better look into Dirk's sort of secret Black Ops project backstory, which is quite nice, because that stuff was all touched on in the first series, but not delved into. I think this is a series where that's going to happen.
It looks good.
And also there was a nice little reference to the second Dirk Gently book. Not that the first series was based in any way on the first Dirk Gently book or on any of the previous Dirk Gently stuff, but he mentioned that I think Elijah Wood's character mentioned that he got powers from Thor or something, which is The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul is the second book, and it's all about Thor. That was a nice little reference.
Oh, I see. Yeah, when we did that, I was like, I'd forgotten that this wasn't part of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, so that must be like the Infinity stuff. I just like went into Marvel Cinematic Universe like on autopilot. Oh, that's so weird. Okay, yeah, no, this isn't Marvel, is it?
No, it's not.
It's so weird. Yeah, so, okay, that's interesting. That's cool. Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
So the next one was Bright,
which
is the Will Smith And if anyone's well, there's a video game of it as well, but it's a tabletop role playing game called Shadowrun. It's kind of Netflix does Shadowrun is
Yeah,
how I'd
and
dub it.
yeah, like I mean that's the thing that interests me about it most because, as you know, I play Shadowrun. I love Shadowrun, and yeah, this really does feel like the closest thing we're gonna get in the near future to a proper Shadowrun film.
And I think it'll be better than a film would be,
I mean, is it a
because
film
they've
or is
got
it a
more time.
series?
Oh, I thought it was a series. Is it a
I thought it
film?
was a film. Let me just double check.
Ah, okay. But yeah, so whilst Drew's doing the checking,
It's a film.
just in case. Oh, okay, that makes more sense because it would be really expensive to have Will Smith on a TV show.
Yeah, I thought as much.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sad because I was like, oh yeah, I could actually really watch Will Smith every week. He's like eminently watchable. He's just, yeah, he's just got a real, he's got a range, which I really like because he has
Yes.
the comedy, but he also has this real kind of, he's good at the sort of sensitive kind of hurt kind of moments, sort of tender moments.
Like, and yeah, he has, like, through his entire career, that's been his thing, hasn't he? Like, even from The Fresh Prince, there are some amazing emotional episodes in that series where he just nails it.
Yeah, he does. He's really good at that. So, okay, so it's a film. Yeah, that's good too, but I'm kind of sad now because
Yeah, I mean, I
I
think I'd like to watch a mini series based on that
yeah.
universe.
Yeah. So for people that don't know Shadowrun and why we're comparing it to that, it's basically cyberpunk with magic and magical creatures. So there are orcs,
Tolkien
elves.
races, yeah.
So for some people, I know some role players I know, because I've played a lot of Shadowrun as well, but I know some role players just won't go down it. If they like cyberpunk, it's like, I do not want magic in my cyberpunk, which I kind of understand too, but it's kind of fun for bridging that gap for players. And Bright looks like it's kind of, I'd say it's probably taking some inspiration from Shadowrun.
I think most almost definitely
Yeah,
I mean, like my
so.
group, we all discussed this trailer and we all came to the immediate same conclusion. Oh, this is
Yeah, I
Shadowrun.
think all role players ever have gone, oh, look, they're making a Shadowrun
I
film,
mean,
but haven't got the
there's not a
license.
there doesn't seem to be a huge emphasis on cyberpunk in that trailer. It
No,
looks say it looks more
that's the
present
only
day.
element. Yeah, it's just kind of urban fantasy, but yeah, it looks like a sort of kind of grittier world than ours, so in that those terms it's kind of cyberpunky, I suppose. But yeah, it looks good. It's a cop buddy cop
I mean,
movie
I like the
type.
premise. I'm not necessarily sure I agree that it looks good. There's some really clunky dialogue in that trailer. Like, none of the jokes landed for me, and, like, those are the ones that made the trailer.
Okay.
And there's this. I mean, it was the line halfway through that sort of.
Okay.
There's. He says, "This is." They're talking about a magic wand, which seems to be the big sort of magical MacGuffin, which they're all chasing after in this film.
Yeah, that was
And
a bit weird.
the line is, "This is like a nuclear weapon that grants wishes." And I want to be clear that I think that is probably the dumbest line I've ever heard in a film or trailer. It's just awful. What does that even mean?
I mean, the magic wand bit was, but I thought like the world building was really cool, and the kind of the conversations between Will Smith and the guy, you know, how he was like telling his kid kind of you know, they're different races, but that's okay. We don't judge them like that. But then he gets partnered with, I guess he's an orc, you know, if we're going on Shadowrun
Yeah,
terms,
I
he's
think
like
he
an
was meant to be an
orc.
orc.
Yeah. Orc or a troll. I think he's an orc. You know, then he's like confronted with his own. And I quite liked that because, you know, obviously Will Smith's black. And so, you know, yeah, I kind of liked that they might be dealing with some interesting issues, social issues, and stuff like that. So, I thought the world looked cool and gritty. And so they got the look kind of right. And yeah, I wasn't, I mean, the wand, I was just like, really? A wand, and it just looks like a glow stick from a 90s rave or a Coldplay concert. So that was a bit, but yeah. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I just don't have much faith that it's going to be particularly good. It's the director of Suicide Squad. So
yeah, that was a bit of a red flag.
Yeah.
And what was the other things he'd done?
Was it Fury?
The director of what was it?
Fury, was it called? I saw it. I did see that name, but yeah, I'm not familiar with the film.
And I did think,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it because, you know, like a bad Tom Cruise film, I can still watch it because I like watching Tom Cruise do basically anything. And I think I have the same thing for Will Smith.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, they can kind of, because they put 110% in and, you know, you're just there with them, rooting for them. Yeah. Make it good. So, I mean, this has been sort of in the runnings that have been made for ages, because I remember seeing a teaser for this ages ago and I'd completely forgotten about it.
I'm sure I must have seen it at the time as well, but I'd completely forgotten about it when this came out.
Yeah, it was just like a sort of flash of an orc and Will Smith with a sword and gritty, and that was about it. And it was like, ooh, that looks kind of good, but that was ages ago. So, yeah, hopefully. I hope it's good, but I'll watch it. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's on Netflix, so I'm going
to
be...
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an easy watch. And it's nice to have some sort of a different kind of world. What is next up?
Next up, I've got Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, me too.
Shit, yeah.
We talked before the show.
It's almost like I'm using the list you wrote.
Star Trek Discovery. It looks expensive.
Yeah, it really does. And it looks okay. There's not a lot in that trailer that got me super excited. I'm down for a new Trek series in the TV universe, but that looked an awful lot like a trailer for one of the, you know, the J.J. Abrams films. Mm-hmm. It's big, it's stylish, it's lots of battles, it's an action-y looking miniseries with lots of battles and conflict, mm-hmm. which
is it a miniseries?
I think it's a miniseries, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know, I just watched the trailer.
I think I'm going to have to stop saying miniseries because I don't think it means much anymore, because I used to think of a miniseries as something that was 10 to 13 episodes, but that seems to be just about everything these days.
I'd say miniseries is like 3 to 6 episodes.
Fair enough.
Maybe I'm used to British TV length. So it is sort of like pilot series length then, really.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a good run to get to know these characters and stuff.
I mean,
I'm excited. It's the second woman captain, mm-hmm. At least two women of colour. So that's exciting in and of itself. The thing is, you don't know if this is a fair representation of what the show is actually going to be like, because sometimes they trailerize things and put all the explosions and running and action and you know, silhouettes against big explosions just because they think, and then put some pop song that's so on the nose, because what was it, I don't know what to do or something was the lyric or something.
I don't know.
And it's just like, oh, that's really annoying. It's like, we kind of get it.
I'm sure there will be more to it than what they're showing in the trailer, but you know, putting battles and conflict front and center has never been one I come to Star Trek for.
People are saying that.
And I mean, I'm perfectly sort of willing to be convinced otherwise, because there is I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek Enterprise. There was the third season of that show was entirely that. It was an excursion into a like a hostile environment, which was, it was very much the war series of Enterprise, and it was some of the best Star Trek that had been done in years. So maybe this will be really good.
And Deep Space Nine.
Oh, Deep Space Nine, yeah, of course that went into the Dominion War. I still need to watch through that whole thing.
Okay, so that was like, because before that it was a soap opera in space, and then it got good, and it was amazing.
That is the most embarrassing hole in my sort of Trek knowledge, is that I haven't seen Deep Space Nine past the first couple of seasons.
Okay, yeah. I guess they'll be putting them all on Netflix maybe now.
I think they already are. I think they've been on for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Next Gen on there for sure. Yeah. But I don't know about the others. But yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's all of them actually now.
Okay. The one thing I have to say is I'm really sad about the new design of the Klingons. I don't know if I said this on the show before, but
I think we did discover it, yeah. Discover it. Discovery it. discuss it.
We've discovered it. We've next-gened it. I'm sad about it because they just seem to be kind of, they've taken the hair away and that was kind of part of their blackness for me, but now they've made them actually darker and I don't know how I feel about it. I'll have to see how they play as characters and stuff.
And again, that seems like it's taking cues from the films, where I don't really want them to take any cues from the films as well, because the Klingons in what was the second one, Into Darkness, had a similar looking Klingons in there.
They're almost like drow or something.
Yeah.
More reptilian drow, and I find the drow problematic as it is. So
yeah. Make them look like Worf. I want them to look like Worf.
No, exactly. Like, give us the hair. Hair is the cool. Yeah. So they've taken my cosplay away from me. but I'm willing to, I'll be watching it.
Yeah. And the main character has been sort of revealed now to be Spock's half-sister, which is dumb, I think. I don't think that needs to be a thing. I think that narrows things down in something that I want to just be, a new take on stuff. Not a new take, but a new story in Star Trek.
Yeah, because they've always been that. They kind of do their own thing, and that's what's interesting. Yeah. It's this real need all of a sudden to tie everything together, we have to have some continuous marketing hole.
When that happens, it always kind of takes me out of it, because Spock never, in any of the series, Spock has never mentioned that he has a half-sister. So he clearly doesn't. In the original series, that was not the intent.
He could not know.
Yeah, well, I think that's how they're going to do it. But
I suppose it would be his.
Yeah.
His mother was human, is that right?
Yes, she was.
Sarek's
his father, so his mother must have been human.
So his father could have.
Absolutely. It's possible, but clearly that wasn't what they intended in the original series or any of it. And now it's, 40, 50 years later? Suddenly this is something new that we're adding on, just so that we can bolt on Discovery to the original.
Weird. But
and the other weird thing is that her name is Michael.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, that's her character's name. It's Michael. Her first name is Michael. It was a deliberate choice to give her a man's name for. I don't know necessarily what reason it's going to be within the show, but she's Spock's half-sister, Michael.
Right.
which is odd, but yeah.
I suppose you get women called James and, men called Merrill and,
I'm called Drew, so I can't make any, throw any stones about having an androgynous name. The other thing I just sort of, I didn't think I was going to like this, but I did when I saw him in the trailer, was that they've got Rainn Wilson in there playing Harry Mudd from the original series, which I just thought no need to have that character on this show, just make it something separate. But even in the 2 seconds he was in it, I thought that was really good. even if the line "You're mad, no, I'm Mudd" is also stupid. a lot of stupid lines in the trailers, I thought. But,
I just wonder how it's going to... It feels like a bit more of a Battlestar Galactica-style show than the sort of episodic landing on a planet. What have we come up across? It's got a major arc as opposed to...
Yeah.
The sort of episodic feel of the other shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be fine with that as long as it, gets into the philosophy as well, and gets into the, you know, goes into the slow scenes and the discussions in the ready room.
Yeah, we want some sort of sci-fi philosophy, basically. So, next up is the Defenders, which pulls together Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and the other guy, Iron Fist. Just kidding. So, I think this actually looked okay.
It did. Like, I mean, I'm up for it. I mean, the Marvel Netflix series with the misstep of Iron Fist. And I want to point out that I haven't seen that past the first episode, so I am taking the internet's word that it is as bad as they say it is. The other series have been really good. There hasn't been one I haven't enjoyed, like we discussed before.
Oh, and Daredevil. I forgot Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil, yeah. No, I thought you said Daredevil. I thought you forgot Luke Cage.
No, I definitely said Luke.
Fair enough. There we are. Anyway, I'm actually watching Daredevil through again. For the first time at the moment. I'm about 3 or 4 episodes in. It's really good.
I love that.
Yeah, we've discussed on the show before how much I got into Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. And Luke Cage, I got halfway through that, really enjoyed it, and then didn't pick up the second half. So I'm going to do that again before I watch The Defenders. But all of those shows have been really good. I'm interested in seeing what they're all like, you know, meshed together.
And they seemed to play really well together.
Yep.
Because they've got quite different, and I like the fact that Daredevil's like, yay, I've got friends, and they're all like, we don't want to be your friends.
Yeah, Luke, isn't it? I'm not giving you a hug, man.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, you are so weird. So I like that it's got putting a bit of humor into what are these quite dark shows. Luke Cage probably, well, I suppose Iron Fist is the lightest of it, but that's just because of poor writing more than anything. But Luke Cage has probably been the lightest in terms of sort of dialogue and a humor to it. So I'm looking forward to those being together. I'll probably will watch the second half of Iron Fist because it looks like his major, enemy is central to this. So,
I'm going to have to watch that as well then.
Yeah, and I'm so excited because Elektra is in it. I'm so excited. So, yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Is she in the second series of Daredevil?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So, because when is that coming? When are all these... Is everything hitting? Is there, new...
The second series of Daredevil has been out for a while, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think the next second series is Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage is getting one, but I don't know when those are coming out.
That's so weird, because Netflix hasn't told me.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, I may be wrong, but I'm fairly sure.
Okay, okay. So I love
Daredevil. It definitely has. It was 6 months ago. The Punisher is in it.
Oh, what have I been doing? Oh, maybe.
March.
Yeah. Ah, okay. How did I miss that? Weird. Okay. Is it in the UK as well? Sometimes UK Netflix is a bit behind, isn't it?
Well, it is, but not on Netflix-produced shows. They tend to come out at the same time. It's definitely out. You've missed the boat.
Weird. Okay, that means I've got more Daredevil to watch. Yay! Because I loved that.
Oh, good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Anything else on Defenders?
Nothing sort of, hugely sort of penetrating. Sigourney Weaver is the bad guy in it. I think that's great. Love Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
I also thought it was quite funny after one of the comments I've seen about the previous sort of Netflix series is, why is it always a scene where they have a big long fight in a corridor? This is the famous one in Daredevil in the second episode, which I've only just gotten around to seeing, which is fantastic.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Jessica Jones has one. Luke Cage has one in the second episode as well. I don't know if it happens in Iron Fist. I'm going to assume it does.
I can't remember. But, so it must be
But yeah, that's the comment that I've always heard is, oh, this is, you know, a show about fighting in corridors, and the fight in the trailer is like all four of them in the one corridor beating up people who are coming down the corridor.
Excellent.
So
like,
yeah, okay, yeah. They know that's happening now. They're addressing that.
Yeah. And I liked the fact that they were in places that we've seen in each of the shows. So they were in the club. Cottonmouth's club at one point, and yeah, so I liked the way they're kind of tying, and then there was a bit in the office of Iron Fist, and yeah, it's kind of nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
see what
me
happens
too.
Yeah, cool. Next up,
another
team up.
Another team up, Justice League.
Yeah, so this is quite interesting. It's the Marvel team up, and I know it's TV versus cinematic.
It's going to be a bit different.
Yeah. So it's Justice League. And I'm surprised. I quite liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look bad.
No,
I'm sort of preconditioned by the internet now to expect that DC films are going to be bad.
Not really by the internet, it's really by
what by the films.
Like. Well, or unless you haven't seen quite a
no,
few.
No, exactly.
Films.
I haven't seen Batman vs Superman. I haven't seen Suicide Squad. I did see Man of Steel, and Wonder Woman, obviously, which was to its credit, good. How could that not be to its credit? This looked fine. It looked good.
Damning this faint praise.
Like, it's tough
It's
tough to tell from the trailer, and it's always tough to tell from most sort of big superhero trailers what it's going to be like in the final film. I like Jeremy Irons in it. I thought he was good.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that it continued that reference from, like, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight films. You know the thing where Commissioner Gordon turns around and Batman is gone, and he wasn't finished talking, but Batman's done, so he's gone. And, like, there were a bunch of internet jokes made about that and videos about, you know, why would you just do that? Where are you hiding? And then that gets brought up in this trailer with the Flash going, oh, they all just disappeared. Huh? That's very rude of them. And, then he disappears as well.
That's what that was. I was just like, that's an odd gag.
It is. But it's carried through, it comes from a different comic universe. It comes from the Nolan Batman films, which is...
Oh, I see what you mean,
Which I thought was an odd sort of thing to address, but, you know, it's an offhand gag. I think it works.
Yeah, it's just fan service, I guess, isn't it? But I thought it was interesting that they really centred Wonder Woman as kind of the linchpin of this. So that was quite interesting, because I don't think they would have done that.
If Wonder Woman hadn't been really successful at the cinema. It does feel like they cut that trailer after that film came out, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because they, you know, the first thing we see is Wonder Woman just being awesome.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's okay. It's going to be like more of the Wonder Woman film. And so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I really like her with Ben Affleck. They work really well together. And the Flash seems quite... He really is a bit of light in the dark.
He's very young. I think younger than we've previously seen the Flash. Was he in Batman vs Superman? I think he was. I think that was...
In the sort of maelstrom of story nonsense.
I'll admit I haven't seen much of the Flash. He's not one of those superheroes that I'm hugely familiar with, but he seemed a lot younger than other representations I've seen about him. He reminded me of Peter Parker in Spider-Man Homecoming, which we went to see the other week, by the way. We were going to do an episode on that, but just not enough room, is there? We haven't got enough room.
There's too much stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
It looks. But then DC trailers always look good. I went to see I went to see Batman versus Superman against my better judgment because I'd sworn I will never go and see another Zack Snyder film ever. But the trailer looked good and I went and I was wrong.
and you learned your lesson, didn't you?
So they always look good, you know. Suicide Squad looked good and it did look very pretty, but yeah, it was a bit of a mess, and you know, Will Smith had to kind of carry the film, and he did. And yeah, so they do good trailers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to make a superhero trailer that looks exciting, because you're always going to have big superhero fights. You're always going to have at least, you know, one good snappy line. It's the stuff in between that doesn't make it into the trailers that makes or breaks the film.
Yeah, the one person I'm not convinced by is Aquaman.
Who is that?
What's his name? Jason.
Is it the guy who played like Drogo in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I thought I recognized him. Yeah.
I mean, he's a nice choice visually, because they've taken, you know, they've given him this kind of South Pacific kind of look, as opposed to the blonde, you know. I mean, I was never into Aquaman. I just couldn't go there. I was Prince Namor, Man from Atlantis, all the way on the Marvel side. And he's just a much cooler character. But he just, like, he delivered some lines that just, like, they fell like lead balloons. And so, yeah, I'm just not convinced by his acting chops, because all the other people around him seem to be quite sparky and, you know, have a real presence. And he doesn't, apart from a physical presence.
Yeah.
I think he's the weak link in terms of performance.
Fair enough. We'll see. Yeah.
We will see. But I'm sort of cautiously hopeful.
Yeah. Cautiously optimistic, that internet buzz phrase. I mean, I hope so. My reaction to it was, okay, this looks good. I'm interested to see if DC can pull this off, like, so long after, like, Marvel kind of have wrapped this up now. They've done the Avengers,
team-ups.
Yeah, they've done that. Those films make so much bank. And I thought, you know, and it's been ages since they did it. DC are very late to this party. And then I looked up The Avengers, and it's only 5 years ago that came out, and that amazes me. That feels like a much older film to me now.
They feel really established, don't they?
Yeah.
So,
We'll see it, and we'll judge it fairly.
We will, yeah. It was dark as well.
It was dark. It did look dark. It looked DC.
Yeah, it did. And so I suppose, in contrast, we'll move on to our final trailer.
Yeah, finally. I got a couple of honourable mentions afterwards, but yeah, I think this is the last big one we're doing.
Yeah, it's Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
Oh my god, my heart actually skipped a beat when I said that. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's a really good trailer.
It is a good trailer. Yeah. I love the fact that it's colourful. Even the logo of Thor had, like, yellows in it, and there were pinks and purples. And
neon.
It just feels like the pages of a comic book. I'm just so excited, because Thor's one of my favourite all-time comic heroes. It just... Oh, God. And Kate Blanchett.
She looked really good.
Yeah, she did look really good. And I like the fact that she's kind of given herself this Helena Bonham Carter accent.
Yeah.
This kind of... she hasn't gone for her Galadriel kind of English accent.
Yeah.
She's gone for something slightly different, with a kind of a little bit of a London quirk to it, which I thought was quite nice. She looks amazing in it, and really powerful. She crushes Thor's hammer and... Whew, yeah. It looks good. Oh my god, Valkyrie. She's another one of my, you know, I used to go through my brother's comics, just pulling out the ones with her on the cover. You know, I was obviously a little girl, you know, sort of trying to find a woman in my comics.
And
she was one of those. Black Widow was another. And Yeah, I'm just so excited. Not only do I get Valkyrie, who I thought we'd never see because she's, you know, a much smaller hero, but she's a black Valkyrie, which is just amazing. So, and she's coming with on Pegasus. I was like, oh, I wonder if she'll be on Pegasus, and she is with all her other, you know, there's this big sort of, I don't know, herd. Is it a herd of Pegasus?
I don't know. Is it Pegasus or Pegasi?
Pegasi, I don't know. Or is it a flock? Because they've got wings.
A flock of Pegasus. Yeah, I think it's definitely a flock of Pegasi.
but yeah, she looks cool and yep. It's exciting. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah.
And it looks fun as well. There's yes. like that. We were talking about how in earlier trailers I thought there were a lot of jokes that fell flat and lines that didn't work. Like, I was on board with all the funny conversations they were having in this trailer and in the previous one. There's some really nice stuff there between Thor and the Hulk.
Even when he's the Hulk as well.
So
he has one, you know, with David Banner, but then with Hulk, you know, Hulk is raging fire. It's like, oh, kind of fire too. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's more of a smoldering fire. He's like,
Again, I haven't seen the previous two Thor films, so I don't know what he's like in that, but it seems like they found a really good sort of comic energy for him and a good voice for him that I don't think necessarily was present in the Avengers films. He gets a couple of good ones off in there, but he's never really the focus of those films. So
Thor.
Maybe it just Thor. Maybe it didn't come through, but it seems like they've really found a good voice for him in this.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I suppose in Avengers Age of Ultron, they did with the hammer, you know, with everyone trying to pick up the hammer and stuff.
Yes, they did. They had that.
Yeah, that was kind of his moment, wasn't it?
One of the best scenes in that film, I think, as well.
Definitely. The nightclub scene is just genius, but the other thing I loved was at the end when she's like, what are you the god of again? And you see him and the lightning. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Well, he just goes full lightning and his eyes and everything. I was just like,
you have been bigging up this trailer to me for like the last 2 weeks, asking me if I've seen it. And I thought I had. It turned out I'd seen a previous one. and I was sort of, I'm sure it's good, but I also know that Shella like really loves Thor, so I'm probably not going to think it's that great. I watched this trailer, I thought it was fantastic, and it made me want to watch the previous two films. I 100% agree. That looks like a great film, and I can't wait to see that.
It looks good.
Like I said, I had a couple of just honourable mentions that I wanted to I know you're not into any, not really into any of the ones that I'm about to mention, but I just don't say anything. Yeah. They released a trailer for the new Saw film, which looks dumb. I'm gonna see
it's called
it.
Called Jigsaw, which is quite hilarious.
Well, I guess. I mean, like Jigsaw's always been like the bad guy in those films, so I think it's a better title than Saw 8, the final chapter.
Oh, okay. Because I was just like, they're just like upping the Saw, and next it'll be Circular Saw.
he's always been the primary villain of the series, and he's always been like the strength of that series. Tobin Bell playing Jigsaw, he's a really sort of charismatic villain. Like I said, this film, like, I've seen all the previous seven. I think the first two are really good films, and then from then on they get worse and worse, but I still watch them because I kind of just like the mythology of that series. This kind of looks like a greatest hits of the Saw franchise. There's a lot of stuff in there that resembles previous traps in the series, and like even the plot, if you watch the trailer, it's about how, you know, John Kramer Jigsaw has been dead for 10 years. Like, he dies in the third film, so it like out of seven. So it's not even like they haven't done this plot before. Like, oh, how can he be back? He's not back. He's just, you know, working through other people, which is what he always did anyway. So yeah, that looks stupid. I'm gonna see it day one. I'm probably gonna go to the cinema to see that.
Excellent.
The other one is like something that a lot of like, again, I know you don't have much investment in, but I think it's probably some of our listeners will, is the new Doctor Who trailer for the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Which looks really, which, I mean, you can't tell that much about it from the trailer, but it's the first Doctor is back, obviously not played by William Hartnell, who is long passed away, but they've replaced him with, I've forgotten the actor, isn't it? Is it David Bradley? He's the guy who played Filch in the Harry Potter films. And he looks really good in the role. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because it's, you know, the send off of Peter Capaldi, who has been my favourite Doctor, and the introduction of Jodie Whittaker, who I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does with it.
I used to watch the Doctor Who, but I mean, I obviously watched it as a kid and loved it, and then I picked it up when, you know, they did the reboot thing, and I watched it. I didn't watch any of what's his name, the Scottish guy. I didn't watch the second
Peter Capaldi?
Doctor.
Oh, David Tennant.
David Tennant, who everyone loves.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just didn't watch it. I don't know what happened. And then I watched Mark Smith, and I really loved him as the Doctor.
He was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was a great Doctor, and was the first Doctor that I really felt like an alien. The way he kind of reacted to things and looked at people like they were intriguing to him and stuff. I loved him. I don't think he had the best writing, unfortunately.
Perhaps not. He got a couple of really good episodes, but
I kind of drifted off on season two of his, like the second half of season two. Because I got fed up of the Amy Pond and her boyfriend story, the, you know, the River Song was their child, and I was just like, what?
You remind me of all the stuff I hated about that. I really liked Matt Smith's tenure. Since the second episode she was in, I've kind of hated River Song. I don't think I don't think she's as interesting a character as the show would like me to believe.
No, I thought everyone loved her. I just really, oh God. And then so I faded away, and then I haven't got back in since then.
I think I might recommend you a couple of Capaldi episodes because he's such a fantastic Doctor. He's like an old Doctor.
I do like him as an actor. Yep. So he does really intelligent, funny stuff. So I'd be up for that. Like a few recommended episodes.
Okay.
So,
I'm gonna get on that.
Yeah, and if anyone listening wants to do that too, wants to try and wean me back into Doctor Who, I'd be up for that too. Oh,
I already know what episodes they're going to say as well. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, so, I think that's about it. I do have a note on. Did you see the trailer for the Orville?
No, I've heard about it. I just didn't have time. The sort of spoof.
Yeah, it's Seth MacFarlane doing Star Trek, and it looks awful.
Really?
Yeah,
I'd heard good things. People had said, well, just this is like this morning. I'd seen people going, this looks better than Star Trek Discovery.
I wouldn't say I have a sort of love-hate relationship with Seth MacFarlane. I like some of the stuff he's done. I'm not a big fan of Later Family Guy.
I did think that when I saw that it was him doing it, I was like, oh, I have a feeling that Drew is a bit, Seth MacFarlane.
I mean, I have, he's a really funny guy and he does some really clever things sometimes, but he is a bit smug and he is a bit annoying.
Mm.
And this seems to be him in full just sort of smug, annoying mode.
Okay. Interesting. I'll have a look at the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking it would be a kind of Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. And I went into it thinking, okay, yeah, this is his subject matter. He could probably do something really good with this. But that's not what it seems to have come out like for me.
Okay.
just give me more Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, that was good. I haven't seen that since I went to the cinema to see it.
Oh, right, fair enough.
That was the hour roundup of our things that we're interested in from San Diego Comic-Con. Let us know what yours were. Have we missed anything off? There are, obviously we have, because there were a lot more trailers, and there were some very big trailers that everyone's sort of talking about, either positively or very negatively, but,
yes. There's definitely some big stuff that we've missed, and if you feel like we've done you a great disservice by not mentioning your particular favourite one, well, we don't care, but you can tell us in the comments
anyway.
And yeah, you can actually shout at us personally now on our new Twitter account, which is at @ArguTheCast. And from there, you can find links to everywhere we are on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. From
GameIndustry.com and all your wherever good podcasts are sold. Well, not sold, it's free. don't worry, we're not charging you for this.
No. So come and chat to us, say hello.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, Drew?
Yep.
Until next time.
Cheerio.